News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
It must be Saturday. Look where we are.
We should be outside. It's so nice.
Enjoy it while we can. We may get there eventually. In the meantime, we got history to talk about here on the
El Paso History Radio Show.
Yes. KTSM AM 690. Obviously, that's where we are. We always say, because it's true,
that's right,
Texas history begins in El Paso. Today's going to be an interesting day to look at that. But where else can they find us?
You can go to ktsmradio.com, where you can click on the iHeartRadio.com app, and you can download the app and take us. Put us on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer, take us anywhere you go, so you'll never miss another show.
Check the connection on that mic again. No, at the top up there. That's where it is. Okay, you're good.
There we go.
See, I told you. Work. You got the weird one this morning.
I know. I always get
welcome to steam powered radio.
So more like tin cans on a string someday.
Oh, we're going to do trivia today, right?
I think we're going to have trivia. It's a really wonderful trivia we've got.
You went to a lot of trouble on some of those.
Yeah, some of them were kind of interesting, though. I mean, that's how you learn history. But today, our sponsor on that is Pepe's, and they have a great deal for you, for the radio audience. And when you visit Pepe's, ask for their free radio, free salsa sampler. And you will be served four of Pepe's special sauces along with their regular salsa and chips. And the sauces are chili con carne, chili con queso, red chili and salsa, enchilada salsa. I know, it's so good.
And how much it cost?
It's free.
Oh, I knew that.
And tell them that you heard about this special on the El Paso History Radio Show here on KTSM Radio News Talk.
Or they could get themselves a DVD. You know, we're not going to give away that Woman's Club DVD sitting there, but the rest of those are fair game. And we got a bunch of them on the El Paso Gold TV series available to give away today. Or
the
food. You can call up.
$20 in gift food.
So
Pepe's.
Let's crank this up, because I think what we need to do is understand a huge chunk of El Paso history that at this point is destined to be destroyed. And there's no reason for it except the fact that they want to put an arena in a certain place in downtown because it's adjacent to some of their other certain places.
Everything downtown.
Well, I'm having a feeling that they probably promised people that this would occur, even though, as we know, it was not written on the ballot. Let's talk to David Romo. Dr. Romo, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Turn this mic on over here, Sophia, if you would. another guy in the room is Robert Diaz. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackson.
Good morning,
how
Robert.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
El Paso County Historical Society researcher guy.
That is correct.
And this over here is a UTEP graduate with a degree, several.
I guess they call me doctor, but... About the only thing I can cure is historical amnesia, but, you know.
Historical amnesia will be will be cured today, Dr. Romo. And, Melissa, what we've been looking at here for a couple of weeks is the city council decided all of a sudden from a Thursday to a Tuesday to create, enact, and allow themselves eminent domain to remove a neighborhood from downtown. There was no discussion with the public on that neighborhood.
No, not at all. Not even with the people that live there.
And
I think there were a selected few, but that's another thing.
And so when city council back in the day decided to take down their own building, there was no one to displace, so they took that down and made a ballpark there.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But now you're dealing with the citizens who are living there, and the rest of us who are outside of that box have a comment or two. David, what is your thoughts?
Well, yeah, first of all, in terms of there's a lot that is going to be destroyed by this. The history is, as an historian, I'm very concerned about the history, but of course the people, the residents. Within the area that's called the redevelopment zone, there's probably 120, 150 people that are going to be displaced. Most of them are elderly. Most of them are our abuelas, you know, elderly women, widows, low-income people. So that's really, it's the living history and all that kind of fabric. They say, this is like my, you know, everybody that lives in this place is like my family. We watch out for each other. We, you know, we take care of each other. There's a long, long connections, a community fabric that will be destroyed. And sometimes I'll walk around with some of the abuelas, and they'll tell me, oh, look at this, the Martinez grocery. You know who used to live there? She was somebody that knew Pancho Villa. Look at this place. So it's more than the history. It's really both the living history and the buildings themselves, which I guess we're going to focus on today.
Well, we'll focus on the buildings, but like you say, the people, I mean, that's really the other downside to doing this. And God bless City Council for working as hard as they do to create what they can for us as a group. What they need to understand is that they didn't ask us our opinion on this one, and that's right. Why they're now getting the backlash they
are. And, you know, they say that by law, they couldn't speak to the community, and that's why, because they were afraid that there was going to be speculation once people knew that that's where the arena was going to be. People were going to kind of take advantage of that. Yeah. But in reality, it was in the year 2006 that the Downtown El Paso 2015 plan placed the arena in the exact same location that it is on today. So it's like people already knew this for 10 years, so why can't you announce it? And the second thing is that why does it take only 5 days to vote on it? I mean, you should have taken a much longer period, even if the first thing had been true, to just consult the community.
Like a discovery period, right?
Right, so that they can figure out exactly who and what they're destroying. I mean, you can't just do this within 5 days.
Let's do this. I hadn't planned to do this, but let's give it a shot, see what happens. If anyone on City Council is listening and would like to comment on what we've said so far and comment on what you think is going to happen down there, please call us, 544-5876. I'd love to hear their opinions. I didn't invite them on this show particularly because I thought we'd discuss the footprint first. But now that I'm thinking about it, we're raising some major issues here in how to live in El Paso.
Absolutely.
This
goes to the heart of who we are as a city.
I have the same feeling I had when they took the Muir building down. They made huge promises of what wonderful things were going to be built on that corner. None of them have happened yet. They said immediately, we can't tell you what it is because you're out there, you're the profane or whatever they were thinking about us. Whatever it was, they had to have that piece of property torn down before they could sell it. And now it's a parking lot. Okay,
right.
Let's not have that kind of mentality, please,
absolutely.
Is my opinion. So let's
absolutely.
Let me ask you guys, Robert, what do you see in the footprint there? You're with the El Paso County Historical Society.
Yes, sir.
You found in your files a survey of the area.
That's right. It's a 1998 survey conducted for the Sun Metro Transit Authority. In it, they identified several locations within that footprint that could qualify for the National Register of Historic Places. A few in particular are 302 West Overland, 305 Chihuahua, 309 Chihuahua, and 315 Chihuahua, along with 306 West Overland, also known as the Mansion.
That's the Mansion, okay.
And apart from that, this neighborhood and its design appears in Anson Mills' original 1859 plat of the city of El Paso. This is before El Paso was incorporated. This was shortly after El Paso became a part of the United States.
It's an original neighborhood.
It's an original neighborhood. And some of the street names are the same. Chihuahua, Overland. The look is the same. So to place an arena there, a big... I know they say it's not going to be a box-shaped arena, but a large arena in a neighborhood that was originally planned 150 years ago would fundamentally alter the characteristics of that neighborhood. And aside from that, you know, even if some of the buildings haven't been there since 1859, its character has been there. It was one of El Paso's original neighborhoods. And
it's probably the oldest neighborhood in El Paso because it was part of it was determined that after 1873 it was part of the first ward, right?
Right.
El primer barrio, not el segundo barrio, but el primer barrio of the city.
Right, right. And it was planned before El Paso was incorporated in 1873. It was planned before the railroads arrived in 1881.
Shall we say that they have targeted the most historic piece of neighborhoods in
absolutely,
El Paso?
Absolutely, the oldest one. And I mean, so much has been studied. Now, it hasn't been declared any kind of official landmark for several problematic reasons. It's always kind of been a target of so-called redevelopment, which is sometimes a code word for demolition. But a lot of the Mexicano history there, the Mexican-American history that has been going on for generations in this city, for a long time was not appreciated. Only 2% of national landmarks in the city have anything to do with Hispanic or Mexican-American history. So the argument that the city is saying that, well, there's nothing declared as officially historic, even though it's the oldest neighborhood in the city and the most historic.
That is so disingenuous to hear that nonsense. We know better. Why tell us lies, please?
And not only that, when the city rejects a funds from the Texas Historical Commission to conduct a survey of that area.
In hand.
Correct.
You know, how much was it, like $50,000?
I believe 56.
$56,000, and they said, no, thank you, because we don't want to know the historic importance.
Okay, then bring up the timeline. What happened next? The county.
Oh, yeah.
The county came in on February the 8th of this year and said, okay, city, you're not going to survey the history in this area. We will.
We're going to do. Yeah.
So the county is now preparing to survey, including that plot.
But I think the city right now is showing that it wants to go very, very quickly on this. I call it a kind of a blitzkrieg. You know, the German word for lightning war.
Oh, I got
to say. What was the strategy? That you tear it down before anybody can react.
Right.
Shoot first, tear down stuff first, ask questions later.
Yes, that's the truth.
Let's talk about, go ahead.
Well, it's, again, that push for everything being downtown. Wonderful, great idea. But when you're pushing people out and you have open land around, for example, we have Cohen Stadium sitting there doing nothing.
Right.
And I think the people in the Northeast should complain and start to pick up and say, put it there, because it's got wonderful accessibility for Fort Bliss, for the people there, easy in and out. People from the west side can get there much easier.
I agree.
And there's no planned parking again. You know, well, we're going to put everybody in a bus from someplace else to get them there. People don't always want to do that. And you've got that land that's just wasting.
You're scratching out again.
Am I scratching out?
Oh, there you are. You're back.
I'm back. Okay.
Hey, sir, are you doing okay in there, Sergio? You got too many modules?
It's his hair.
Occasionally working. I appreciate your patience with that part of the process. David Romo's in the house. He is a UTEP graduate with a PhD. He wrote a book called Ringside Seat to the Revolution. You're probably working on another one.
Absolutely. I'm working on something. I'll give you the title. It's called Mexican Nazis and Global Pachucos. And then the subtitle is Propaganda, Intelligence, and the Production of Border Invasion Anxiety. And it has to do with all these intelligence files that I found. I went to Germany, to Mexico City, to the National Archives in Washington, and there's all these conspiracy theories during World War II on how there were a whole bunch of Mexican Nazis here along the border collaborating with Pachuco youth in order to undermine, you know, World War II war effort.
And this was real?
There were stories within the intelligence community that were super hyped up.
You can make a heck of a novel out of that.
It's kind of like today how they say that there's all these people that are collaborating with ISIS going across the El Paso border, and, you know, they're just conspiracy theories to scare people. So I'm looking at that.
That's what you're doing. All right.
Quick question. I wonder about the Mansion House. Now, that opened in, 1901 as a... What did it open as? People have mixed emotions as to what it was.
Right. I think on the phone book, it just describes it as a boarding house. And I believe it wasn't until about 1908 to 1943 that it did serve as a brothel.
There you go.
So that's an interesting piece of the history. We're about to come up to a break at some point in this program. Let's take on that brothel subject a little bit more clearly. What I did on Facebook, I called a guy this week whose father wrote a book, and the guy I called was Rick Frost. His father was Gordon Frost, and Gordon Frost wrote a book called The Gentleman's Club, which is basically an explanation of the business in El Paso known as prostitution.
Yeah.
And he quantified it. He put a map together. We have a map now on Facebook of the old brothels. And I had one guy comment, how accurate is this map? I'm asking for a friend. So I don't know.
The districts were moved around a lot, and they closed them down, then they reopened them again, and trying to clean up the town.
Well, that's germane
today. Had its own problems.
It's germane today because of that one building, the mansion.
It was called the reservation, an odd term for where the sex workers could
there was another name a while for the tenderloin, wasn't it?
The tenderloin.
Yeah, tenderloin. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much out of the Chicago East Coast area. I don't know if it was used here so much.
We didn't have an El Paso version?
Yeah. Now, the reservation, like you said, it was an area that they kept the women in during the day, and at night they could go out of the reservation and only shop on certain days. They were in the reservation. They didn't leave.
Interesting. Yeah. And the mansion was definitely part of that at some point.
It was part of what surprised me when I was looking closer into that technically, once World War II starts, Fort Bliss says absolutely no prostitution in El Paso is allowed. It pushed it into Juarez, but it was still in existence until 1943, which kind of contradicted. Why was prostitution not allowed? Because according to the propaganda at that time, prostitutes could be Axis spies.
Of course.
Or they could be, of course, right? That's obvious. Or they could be bringing venereal disease and undermining the morale of the soldiers. So they saw them as kind of a global threat, right? So the, these stories of prostitution have much kind of bigger implications. It's not just kind of some of the, but there are some really interesting anecdotes. A 1912 anecdote of a young boy that goes to Franklin School, one just down the corner from the brothel, says that they were wonderful people, the sex workers, the prostitutes, that they were high class, that they would offer them, they would open the door when it was freezing in the morning while they were waiting for school, and some, offer them hot chocolate and everything,
and
that they were never lewd to
candy,
them, they were never, you know, groseras, as they say, they were, they didn't cuss or anything like that. So, I mean, there's wonderful anecdotes, but it is still part of kind of an important phenomena, this prostitution and how it relates to the border and even global events.
We should talk also about how that subject should be maintained as history. A lot of people say, oh, sweep it under the rug because of what it was. But you look all over Colorado, there are places of ill repute that have now turned into museums. Mm-hmm. They're making a fortune on those.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, you know, Jackson, that goes to a point that really bothered me when I was at City Council on October 18th. During the City Council's presentation, Peter Schwartzbein, Representative Schwartzbein, said, well, I don't know if we should be saving a brothel in this day and age. And he received a lot of boos from the crowd. and I found that to be a disturbing comment because, one, it really just does cast that portion of history aside, a portion of history that, though maybe distasteful for many, is still very interesting and very vital to the history of El Paso. And I also want to bring up something that he mentions on his campaign website from 2015. And I quote, I also want – so just a little context behind that. In 2012, he installed an art installation in that very building.
The mansion. Peter Schwartzbein.
Yes. And then he he states on his campaign website in 2015, quote, I also wanted to help define the visual character of the emergent Union Plaza district. To that end, La Mansion, a collaborative site-specific art project, was designed to revitalize a historic and unused building in downtown El Paso. The project brings a creative energy to the long discussion of how to use our dilapidated buildings.
This is quoting Peter?
That is correct. Yeah.
Who then came along and said it's not worth keeping?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's on his campaign website.
Peter, you challenged us. We're now challenging you.
So, you know, this topic of turning these houses, whether it's so-called positive history or negative history, it's part of our history, but turning them into museums, I think all of Union Plaza should be turned into a living, walking museum that starts with La Norteña. Go ahead.
And I don't think they are qualified to decide on City Council what is history.
No, absolutely not. I mean,
that's
so much.
That's what you just read to me.
You know, and
we got to take a break, guys. Okay, this discussion is going to go like this for 2 hours.
It's a no-break show.
And by that, also, we may want to continue it at lunch if you guys got time for lunch. Because we often do that. We go to lunch somewhere and keep going. All right, meantime, let's do some trivia questions here.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for either $20 gift certificate to Pepe's New Mexican Food in Canutillo or a El Paso Gold DVD.
We got a bunch of them. I don't think we have all of them in here.
No, but we got a whole mess of them. We got Tom Lee's. We've got Ghost Stories 2, 3, and 4. We've got Legends of El Paso's Mountains, Gunfights of the Old West, which is the best because I'm in it.
Cheesy peasy.
No ego at all. El Paso's MacGuffin Home and the El Paso Tour of the Smelter.
Oh, that's bizarre. We did that this morning on the 7:30 show. Oh, that was crazy. Okay, and do you have a question to ask these people?
Yes, I do, and we were just talking about this. When the Mansion House on Overland Street opened in 1901, was it a brothel or a boarding house?
Or something else. Pick
or
a third one if you want.
Make up something.
How do they win these prizes?
They can call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
401ks smack your hand every time you touch your money before age 59 and a half.
Ow!
Smack by fees.
Ow!
Smack by charges.
Ouch!
Smack by taxes.
Enough already!
Forcing you to keep your money locked up your entire working career. That's powerful nasty. Bill Linderman here, El Paso's old-fashioned finance dude. On an InTouch financial plan, you'll have full control over your money. You can take it out whenever you want, for whatever you want, without being taxed or penalized.
Now that sounds nice.
An InTouch financial plan doesn't use the hand-smacking government or Wall Street to grow your wealth. I can show you in writing, guaranteed, a minimum your money will grow 10, 20, 30 years from now without locking your money up in a 401k. You'll see, in writing, a clear financial future.
All right.
InTouch Financial, keeping you in touch with your money and out of the hand-smacking stock market. Check us out on the interwebs at keepingintouchfinancial.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Imagine your life 5 years from now. Are you on the path you want to be on? It's time to take control of your future by getting a world-class education from one of the nation's top universities. Arizona State University is now offering over 100 top-tier degree programs 100% online. It's the exact same degree our on-campus students receive, but you can learn from anywhere in the country on your own schedule.
For information, text the word online to 37913.
Learn from ASU's world-renowned faculty and use ASU's global recognition to improve your visibility, professional network, and gain real-world experience you can start using today. The Wall Street Journal ranked ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates. Now discover how ASU Online can stand out on your resume and help separate you from the competition. We're ready to help you learn to thrive in your life, in your career, and beyond.
To learn more about ASU online degrees, text online to 37913. Again, that's online to 37913.
El Paso Roadrunner RV Park, your one stop for all your RV needs. A service and repair center, RV parts and accessories, and an on-site mechanic that can cover insurance claims, warranty work, or even winterize your RV. El Paso Roadrunner RV Park, 1212 Lafayette Drive.
Hi, I'm Russell Stover. Here at BMW of El Paso, we know price can be limiting when buying the luxury car of your dreams. Not at our store. Don't let expensive payments hold you back from your new dream machine. Now, drive the new 2017 X1 xDrive 28i for just $329 a month. Come on by 6318 Montana Avenue or see us on the web at bmwofelpaso.com. 778-9381. Just call, that's all.
36 monthly, no security deposit. $3,000 due at signing plus DTNL. Offer ends 11-3016. See dealer website for details.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A lot going on here. We got David Romo in the house, along with the El Paso County Historical Society today.
That's right.
Robert Diaz is here. We're going to talk more history. I got phones full of trivia people over here.
They've all know what's going on.
Just a quick mention, What's Up Magazine featured an article I did on Fort Bliss. They interviewed me about Fort Bliss strange things, and sure enough, I know a couple. And so they put them in that's in What's Up this week. Also, Bernie's in a magazine.
Well, yeah, actually, it's interesting because Bernie was featured in the Authentic Texan, the Heritage Magazine of Texas, and it was talking about him as a local historian and such because of his involvement with Keystone Heritage Park, Concordia, all kinds of history, the El Paso County Historical Commission. So it was really sweet. And the great thing is also Laura Bush was in town this week, and she's featured on the cover of this magazine, the same one that Bernie's in.
And the name of the magazine is?
It's called Authentic Texas, the Heritage Magazine of Texas.
Pick up a copy,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, pick up a copy. It's a great magazine about heritage in Texas. Laura Bush was in town this week, and she loves our history. She was she was at Concordia Cemetery visiting the Buffalo Soldier Memorial, Keystone Heritage Park. Every time she comes, and she has roots in El Paso because her family... Her grandparents lived in Cañotina, were farmers.
Also, she toured the footprint, shall we say, down there for the proposed arena.
That's right. Max took her on a tour down
and
there.
I'm not going to call it anything but a proposed arena right now. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And she took a picture in front of Flor de Luna.
Yeah.
For a long time, it was known as the Martinez Grocery. Actually, I saw that building, and I'm not sure. We have to ask Dr. Max Grossman if it is. But in the bird's eye view map of 1886, that building appeared to be the same one that is still there, just from the shape. I don't know if it was torn down. It may be an 1886 building.
So Laura Bush got a picture in front of that. She's also a heavy in the preservation world.
Yeah.
We haven't heard the end of this, and let's see what happens next. Okay, to the deal of history here, we got the Southwest Chapter Railway Locomotive Society meeting Wednesday, November That one already happened. Moving on to the... I'm going to get ahead of my... Oh, here it is. County Historical Commission on Monday, November 14th. That's going to happen. United Bank of El Paso del Norte downtown. We'll talk more about that. You got Harvey Girls.
Yes, the Harvey Girls will meet Monday, November 14th at the Union Passenger Station.
Oh.
God, I'm so sorry. I just lost it. Depot. They'll be at the Depot downtown at 2 to 4 p.m., which is on San Francisco Street, and their program is sharing memories of Fred Harvey's family reunion presented by Prester Coop. There's visitors are welcome. If you need information, give them a call at 591-2326. The El Paso Genealogical Society will meet Thursday, November 10th at All Saints Episcopal Church.
Oh, we missed that one.
Oh, we
Move
did.
On.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Sorry. I apologize.
Oh, no,
I didn't edit it.
November 18th, we didn't know. You got to go see the El Paso Chorale of Westerners.
Yeah, do that one.
And that will be at the Country Inn and Suites at 900 Sunland Park Drive at I-10 and Sunland Park.
Oh, you go ahead and sneeze. I'll read the next one. Cultural Impact of Transcontinental Railroad. That's a lecture today at the Archaeology Museum, 2 p.m. Prince McKenzie's out there talking about the changes that occurred in El Paso in the region when three lines arrived in El Paso in 1881. Within 9 years, there was a great rail hub going on here. El Paso changed dramatically because of all that. All right, we have a trivia question here, and Melissa, just are you back?
I'm back.
Okay, trivia question is ready. What is the first trivia question?
It is the Mansion House opened on Overland Street in 1901. Was it a brothel or a boarding house?
Or a third choice. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's the world treating you?
Oh, really good. Nice, beautiful day today in El Paso.
What you got for a way of an answer on that one?
I'm going to just guess. I'm going to say a boarding house.
Oh, that's
there
so easy.
Go.
Yeah, yeah, sure. See, we're trying to walk you into getting these right, okay? We want to give away the DVDs, the Pepe's food. Pick one. What are you interested in today? DVD or Pepe's?
The Pepe's.
Pepe's for $20 from Matthew. Put Matthew down for Pepe's. Thank you very much. Hold on. They'll come on the phone and tell you how to pick that up, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. We're going to go now to in order. We got several people still on hold. Carla, you're on the radio. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning.
We got another question for you.
Yeah, the other one was answered, so now we have another one for you.
Okay.
Okay. What is the seating capacity within 1,000 seats of the proposed arena downtown going to hold? How many people?
What?
I would. 20,000.
20,000 is
wrong.
But thank you for trying. I do appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, though.
We got more callers calling up here. We got one more guy on the phone named Sandy. Mr. Farmer, how's it going?
Que paso, people?
Que tal, señor?
We're in here choking to death. I'm not sure what's in the air in this place. What's going on? Do you have a trivia thought on your brain here?
What was that?
The first question, while Reed was answered, we had a second question, was what is the seating capacity within 1,000 seats of the proposed arena? How many seats will it be?
I think it's only about 6,000 seats.
No, I'm sorry.
That didn't work.
But did you have something else?
What was that, ma'am?
Did you have something
Any
else
other
you
thoughts
wanted to
on
say?
Your mind today? I guess not. We're going to move on. Thank you for calling. But go ahead and give. We have no more callers. Go ahead and give the answer.
Well, the answer to that one was 12,500 seats.
Oh, boy. We're going to talk to David Romo and also to Robert Diaz in a moment. We have one more commercial break, shall we say, Sergio? And we'll be back right after that.
Fall means football, cool weather, and hot deals on Bridgestone tires from Martin Tire. Who knows? There might just be a road trip in your future to see your Dallas Cowboys play at AT&T Stadium during Bridgestone's great Cowboy Tickets giveaway at Martin Tire. You can't win if you don't enter, and there's no purchase necessary. Just stop into any Martin Tire store and fill out the official entry form. While you're there, check out a set of four Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza Plus tires. They're perfect for your light truck with year-round performance and an 80,000 mile treadwear warranty. And right now, they're at prices that no one can beat. This could be your lucky November with the hottest deals and the best tires from Bridgestone and a chance to win tickets to see America's team during Bridgestone's great Cowboy Tickets giveaway and only from the Southwest's favorite tire dealer, Martin Tire.
No purchase necessary. One entry per family. Ticket giveaway open to residents of New Mexico and West Texas. See store for details and official rules.
go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Power Punch Signs and Printing is your El Paso-based sign and printing company. We offer a variety of sign solutions for your business. So whether you're a startup, moving locations, or you just need to reface your sign, Power Punch Signs and Printing can help you with your electric signs, channel letters, and pole signs. Your sign is your image to El Paso. We can help make it look stunning. Call now and receive 10% off your custom sign. Power Punch Signs and Printing. Signs, banners, commercial printing. 875-1489. PowerPunchPrinting.com. 875-1489.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, we've got things going on here about El Paso history. The program today is basically to focus on what is the history in the arena footprint, the proposed arena downtown adjacent to the Civic Center toward the south of it. The idea is to take an existing neighborhood that was actually created in the 1800s, David?
1873 was when it was first declared part of the first ward, but I think back the Anson Mills map of, what is it, 1859?
That's right. The Mills plat of 1859 plans out that entire neighborhood, and the design is essentially the same as it is today.
And before that, of course, it was part of the Ponce de León ranch, so it goes back, you know, even further back than that.
Dr. David Romo's in the house, along with Robert Diaz from the El Paso County Historical Society. We have a caller on the phone, I believe it's Alan. Alan, good morning. You're on the radio.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Surviving. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Hey, on this arena that proposed in downtown and everything, all I got to say on that bad boy is that just follow the money. What's the money? Who's going to profit from it? And the other thing is, who's going to get tax gouged on it?
There you go.
That's the big thing, that, you know, on that thing. And the Cone Stadium up here in the northeast, that's perfectly. I have plenty of parking there.
There you go.
I don't know what the deal is. I don't know all the politics involved in it. Don't really care. But common sense ought to come upon our city council.
We'll see how that goes, David.
Absolutely.
Romo?
Go ahead,
Alan.
I do have one question, sir.
Yeah.
On the Casner Range situation, what's the latest word on it getting made a national monument? Anything on that?
Next Saturday morning, there's a major event at the Archaeology Museum in Northeast. And let me get the exact location, but they've got a major event coming next Saturday where they're trying to get over the top in the number of signatures on a petition. I've got that information here somewhere. But then we'll tell you what the detail is. They've got basically till the end of Obama's term, because Obama is the guy who can sign as president to turn that into a national monument. It was going to be attempted to be put as part of the state park, but that basically they've changed their direction. They're not going to make it part of a state park necessarily. They're going to make it a standalone national monument. Which would actually permanently protect it from any kind of federal development.
And I think the president's going to do with that with an executive order, correct?
Correct.
He can do it with that, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, let me give you the exact location. Next Saturday morning at 10 a.m.
I live 2 miles from there. I could see it on the side of the mountain from where I live in the northeast. Well, I know exactly where it's at.
Let's just tell everybody else that this event is going to take place at the auditorium of the Trans Mountain Campus of the El Paso Community College.
Oh, okay.
U.S. 54 Freeway and Diana, just across from Casner Range. So if you're anybody interested in preserving Casner Range, is a major push to do the petition next Saturday morning. Get out there and see that.
So, Jackson, I just wanted to say one thing.
Thanks for calling, by the way.
In reference to putting it in Cohen Stadium, the original ballot, I believe, was for...
Well, the original ballot did not mention downtown as the site of the arena. No one voted on downtown when going to the polls in November 2012.
But now, what do they tell you?
Well, it is in the ordinance from August 2012. Now, how many people realize that? I can't be sure.
Well, that's nothing more than a sleight of hand.
Yeah, that's a question. I mean, why do people vote on one thing and all of a sudden the ordinance shows that it has to be downtown? And in downtown, there's four proposed areas. I mean, the most logical one is the railroad tracks. You're not going to displace people there. You're not going to. But why doesn't the city want to do it? I mean, that's a question we have. Is it because these guys have better lawyers, or is it because it's going to take maybe a year extra to acquire?
Go back to day one. Why does it have to be downtown? It was not on the ballot that way. If you're going to do the sleight of hand and say, but it was in the ordinance, then you're at fault for deceiving us.
Well, you know, I take issue with that. And one of the things I take issue with a great deal also, and I mentioned it at City Council last month, is when they were deciding to place the arena in this location, no historic organization in town was contacted. The El Paso County Historical Society wasn't contacted. The Historical Commission wasn't contacted. The Texas Trost Society, Dr. Romo here. No one.
We didn't get a call.
Jackson, you weren't contacted. No one was contacted. So it and then at the actual meeting, we referred to as quote unquote the historic people. It was very dismissive. Now, I want to clarify that I have nothing personal against anyone at the city or city council. I know several people there, and they're good people. But you know, having worked in politics before working in at the Historical Society, perception is everything. And if it seems like this is being done as a slight to the people in the neighborhood and the historic community, and if it seems less than transparent, then the city's going to have a great deal of trouble getting things done in the future. So this is bad for everyone.
Think Muir Building.
Of course.
Think of the Muir Building. This is exactly what they did on the Muir Building, and it's your tough luck.
Of course. And so, you know, this is bad for everyone. This is bad for the city because aside from not looking transparent, they're having to respond to all the concerns of the city. I mean, in the last month, we had the revelation that this 1998 survey existed. We're still talking about this issue. The Historic Landmark Commission votes on Monday, 6-0.
Last Monday.
Last Monday, correct, to have City Council reconsider their vote. So they're still dealing with this. This is bad for the historic community because we're about to lose a major part of our culture and our story. And most importantly, this is bad for the people in that neighborhood, people who have lived there for decades. I actually spoke to one woman there last month who said, look, I've lived here since the 60s. This is my home. I've hardly made any real changes to the home. It still looks original. She goes, my daughter used to live here, but she moved out. But now the walls keep me company. That's how much the house is part of her. And to another point, you know, there's a lot of...
On that note, I spoke with Toñita Morales. She lives in one of the apartments that's going to be demolished. She's been living there since 1965. She was actually born in Columbus, New Mexico in 1928. She's 88 years old. And she says, I've been involved in helping to beautify this community for decades and decades. And now they just want to kick us out. Like, an 88-year-old woman, when you move her, we know that a lot of times displacement, and there's a lot of studies, it actually kills people.
It does.
I mean, it's a huge crime, I think, that the city's doing. I don't know how else to describe it.
And aside from that, you know, the woman I spoke to also said, you know, this neighborhood, she goes, I'm older, I don't really drive that much anymore, and I'm definitely not going to drive in the future, but my doctor is nearby, my church is walking distance, the supermarket is right across the street, the fire department is behind my house, if I need to go to the hospital, it's 3 minutes away. This is the original walkable neighborhood, and it's still that.
And they want to just dump it and tear it down.
You know, and
they have much better options.
And aside from this being about the buildings in the neighborhood, which are very important, and they tell a story of architecture and culture between the 1800s and the 1900s, the story of El Paso exists in that very neighborhood.
Absolutely. You know, it should be turned into a walking, living history museum. We should begin, for instance, in La Norteña building. I believe that's 211 West Overland. It was the first Chinese laundry in 1901, the only one of the original 15 laundries of that year that is still in existence. And you could walk into La Norteña and talk about the Chinese migration. I mean, this is world history. They came here. There were about 1,200 Chinese people living in the 1880s because they came here with a train originally in 1881, right? So you can go in there and do that exhibit. You could walk down the street, for instance, to to the what we just talked about, the Martinez grocery, where Michael Dolan, an attorney, lived. He was one of the people that Elias Torres, another important El Pasoan, helped Pancho Villa surrender to the Mexican government back in 1921 in exchange. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's do this. If you were to put an historic marker of every deserving point in that footprint, how many would you have?
30, 40 at least. What, you know, we've started looking into it, and we find stuff every day. At least 30 or 40, maybe more.
You also have a little beautiful little park that they put in there some years back. I believe it was in 2001.
That's right.
In honor, it's a fireman's memorial, and somebody had told me it was a 9/11 because of what happened, but we can't confirm that. But, you know, if somebody knows, call us. But I mean, your little park, little things like this. And one thing that people have to remember also, though, is this is the city saying, we know what's better for you than you know yourselves. And I am so tired of hearing that from government all around. And that if people that live out of this area, you know, in the greater part of El Paso, think that that's not important to them. If they do this to these people, who are they going to do it to next outside of that area?
Here's another problem I have with this whole process. They spent millions of dollars, more than $1 million, I believe, on a consultant to tell them where to put this arena. But I believe they gave the consultant instructions on where to put the arena, make it happen. I don't think they really looked. They didn't even ask anybody in the other neighborhoods.
If you give somebody a proposal, this is what we want to do right here, and we want all this here, well, then, yeah, the consultant's going to tell you this is what you want. I mean, he's going to work around
that. He's going to look at your watch, tell you what time it is.
Yeah. And, you know, Jackson, that was what was so problematic with only giving 5 days between the making this public and voting on it unanimously, that there's really hundreds of questions. And so one of them is, how hard did City Council really try to get the railroad track as a real option?
I doubt they called them.
Did they even talk to them? Yeah. I don't think they even called them. But maybe they did. But they have to be accountable to us. They have to tell us what they did. We have hundreds and hundreds of questions. 5 days was not enough to ask those questions.
And they work for us. They don't seem to know that.
They don't represent us at all.
Let's talk to somebody who's calling up named Ricky. Good morning, Ricky.
Hi. I actually have a few questions. I just got back to El Paso from Houston, and so I need to get caught up on this whole project deal. So is this a proposition still, or is this actually set in stone?
It's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
That's
okay.
How they're selling it as a done deal. Of course, there's going to be a community opposition. But
legally.
Right.
Legally, today, they could destroy anything they own in that footprint today.
Absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely. So they own the property, eminent domain? Is it eminent domain? Or?
No. There's how many parcels? There's 40 plus 50 parcels or whatever?
Something like that. They did vote on the use of eminent domain. The mayor says he's not going to use eminent domain, but that probably, I mean, he's only going to be here until May, so eminent domain won't be used until after he's no longer in office. So
the city owns several properties in the footprint. They could destroy those today.
And there are speculators that are getting involved in this. Land speculators is what we were talking about earlier.
Right. They've been involved for years.
Yeah.
Because
I also read that there's a few law firms that are actually like really good at acquiring property specifically for arenas, which that was kind of interesting to me. Secondly, my second question was, what is the cross streets of this area that I can go check it out? I live near Executive now. I'm from Clint, so I don't really know the downtown area.
Santa Fe Street, Paisano, and San Antonio.
Okay, awesome. And then my last question, you guys mentioned there was a El Paso Historical Commission and an El Paso Historical Society.
Yes.
Right.
You guys are the society, right?
Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
And so what's the difference in who has more authority?
Nobody has authority, unfortunately.
Let me take this one. Technically, the authority in a nonprofit corporation is within their board of directors. That is what the society is. It's a nonprofit corporation, Burgess House. They've got a nice old house, and they maintain some decent archives. The other group is the commission. The commission is mandated by the state of Texas. So it is actually an official organization of the state of Texas through the county of El Paso.
And
they're all volunteers of the El Paso County Historical Commission and mostly volunteers at the society.
And I'll add to that a little bit.
And they didn't notify the commission about any of this before they destroyed all this.
No, they did not.
They're 200 years old nearly.
They purposely did not, because those people would have sounded alarms all over the place.
Right. None of us have were contacted, sir. You know, the El Paso County Historical Society, of which I am a part, was founded in 1954. Jackson is right. We are a nonprofit research institution. We're a research institution. And I would say our archives are a little more than decent, Jackson. We have 20,000 photos in our archives, thousands of historical documents. magazines, hundreds of maps and books.
No, you're not. You're more than decent. But I mean, at this point in talking about what it is,
right?
It's not UTEP.
Well, really, I would say that. That's not the issue. I would say that UTEP does come to us for a lot of information. But aside from
let's take that show on in the future.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Back to this man's call.
But aside from that, these two very large, very important institutions in El Paso and the state of Texas were not contacted about, you know, for any consulting regarding the location of this arena. And aside from that being very insulting, you know, you would think that something of this nature, something so monumental, you would want to get as much expertise mm-hmm. as possible.
It's being inclusive. It consulted. Here. They did not even attempt to be inclusive.
How long did it take to get something observed by El Paso County or the state of Texas as a historical monument? Maybe you could put something right in the middle of there, you know, throw a wrench in their spokes if it's that important.
Well, I think what's important is that we do have people are speaking up. People are reaching out. They're doing things. They're trying to find ways to stop this in their own way. And that's what's great about organizations like the Historical Society, the Commission, David Romo, individuals and such. They are speaking up, and maybe we still have a chance.
We're going to have to move on here, but we really thank you for stirring us up here.
But keep listening.
You
can get involved with these organizations also.
Just to sum this up, I think what we need to do is to take a look at what's the history and see if maybe El Paso could be a leader in this region of the United States because of its history. Not because it has an arena, just like the other cities.
And exactly. To that, Jackson, you know, we have...
We've got to take a break.
Oh, okay.
Come back. See, we got started here. Good thing we have another hour after this break.
That's right.
We also have another segment. So we got some more callers coming in. Call us up if you want to.
915-544-5876 or 544 KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, and if you're one of the first 100 callers, you can try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-400-9121. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. To guarantee your 10-day in-home trial, you must be one of the first 100 callers to call minicpap.com now. 1-800-400-9121. Again, that's 1-800-400-9121.
Hey, Pam.
Whoa, what? Who?
Here, in your purse.
Huh?
It's your wallet.
Oh, I finally cracked up.
Nah, you're just a little stressed.
I'm talking to my wallet. I think I've lost it.
Listen to me. You're fine. You just need a vacation. And on Allegiant.com, you can get away your way. Pack light and you can save even more.
With Allegiant, you can afford to get away to places like San Diego.
Well, maybe cracking up's not so bad if I can take a vacation.
Funny. You're funny, Pam.
Listen to your wallet and visit Allegiant.com. Book a flight nonstop from El Paso International Airport to San Diego one way for as low as $39. Save even more when you book flights, rental cars, hotels, and attractions. Must be purchased by 11/23/2016 for travel by 5/15/2017. Price reflects purchase by debit card. Purchase by credit card subject to surcharge not to exceed $8 each way per passenger. See Allegiant.com for details.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. call 915-581-7099.
Hey, American Express card members, you don't want to miss this. Now through December 31st, there's a big reason for you to shop small at local stores in your neighborhood. Learn more and enroll your eligible card today at americanexpress.com/shopsmalloffer. Terms apply.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com. For DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got a few minutes left in this segment here. We've got David Romo sitting here, along with Robert Diaz. I got to get your name right, because it's a four-letter word. Diaz or Azar. All right, now, on the phone, we got a guy who has a major understanding of much of this. His name is Max Grossman. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackson. Good morning, Melissa, David, and Robert.
Good morning, Max.
You got 4 minutes, Max.
Okay, I am calling you from an Uber vehicle being driven by my friend Cassandra here between Tulane University and the French Quarter in New Orleans. But I want to call
Must
this.
Be nice.
I'm going to the Gumbo Festival later, but I wanted to call in and just say, look, you know, what Dr. Romo has been saying, what Robert has been saying is absolutely true. This is one of the most historic urban quarters of all El Paso and deserving of multiple historical markers, as the city itself reported in 1998. And look, here we are again, yet again, the city trying to overrule the opinion of its own historic landmark commission, which has voted unanimously to oppose unequivocally the proposed location of the arena. The same thing happened with the John T. Muir building. The same thing happened with the Union Bank and Trust building. When will the city of El Paso begin to listen to its own appointed experts? And it's not enough that they won't listen to the HLC. They won't listen to the County Historical Commission. They won't listen to the El Paso County Historical Society. They won't listen to UTEP professors. They won't listen to the general public. They won't listen to both Texas representatives, Lena Ortega and Jose Rodriguez. I mean, how much more can they take?
Let's find out.
You know, I mean, it's like Moses standing in front of Pharaoh. I mean, is it going to take the 10 plagues?
At this
what is
point,
it going to take to change their mind?
At this point, Max, I think most of us are trying to figure out how this can be done in any fashion, and logic and common sense seems to not be available in this discussion. What do you recommend?
Well, I recommend that every single person listening to this radio show call his or her city representative and give that person a piece of your mind. Call them. And don't forget, the city of El Paso works for us. We pay their salary. They are our employees, and we need to understand that as El Pasoans, that these are people who should be reporting to us and not vice versa. You know, we're not people to be commanded by our city leaders. They are our employees, we pay their salary, and they need to start listening to the people who support them.
Good idea, Max. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Melissa, Robert, David, you guys are all awesome.
Thank you,
Love
Max.
You guys.
See
Thanks.
You when you get back. Have fun. Take care. We appreciate that. Max Grossman calling in from New Orleans. We put this mic back on over here. Sorry, this one's not on. But the whole idea of this subject is kind of boiling people's blood, I think. David Romo, what do you think?
It's incredible how much opposition you're finding. I mean, on Monday night at 6 p.m. in front of the Toast building.
Got some scratch there.
Am I coming through?
Grab that other mic over there.
Okay.
Just move it over.
So I was saying that on Monday at 6 p.m. in front of the Trost building, you're going to have a lot of people picketing what is basically the city's eviction notice meeting, where they're going to tell people how many trucks they're going to provide to kick people out and so forth. A lot of people are saying we're not at that point.
Paisano and Santa Fe?
Paisano and Santa Fe, that's a Trost house. And it's actually...
It's a firehouse.
It's a firehouse, right? And it was constructed in 1930. Fascinating stories. I've looked at some of the old newspapers from there. People are saying they're going to go to that and saying, we want
Nylon to come to us, but at our place, and we want her not to tell us how they're going to evict us. We want to find out why the heck she voted for this, why they didn't include the community in this whole process. If she doesn't represent the interest of the Barrio Union Plaza, then whose interest does she represent? Those are the questions they're going to ask.
Monday night, 6 p.m. Santa Fe and Paisano.
Santa Fe and Paisano. It's going to be a peaceful protest, nonviolent peaceful protest, picketing the city's decision to evict
All right, we're done here for this hour. David Roma, we're back after the news, and we'll keep this discussion going. We'll see you then.
You know what?
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.